Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. This is the Midday Money served up by Wendy's on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. The final hour is here. And all of our shows fly by, but this one in particular on Tuesdays will. Because if you want to get through the workday quickly, listen to Blake Bedingfield, Logan Ryan, and our next guest, John McClain. John joins us twice a week, presented by FreelandChevy.com. A lot to hit today with the NFL. John is still in New Orleans, where last night the Saints, well, it was a crazy game, but they come back and hit, what was it, a 57-yarder?
58.
The career long was 57 until...
That's right.
He hit the 58 to win it. John was at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. John McClain joins us. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are excellent.
By the way, Will Lutz, the kicker,
yes,
went to Georgia State.
Oh.
What
always
is this?
A tie into Tennessee's futility.
What is this defense they're playing on the last play from scrimmage defensively, John?
Well, I think if your coverage had been bombarded by Drew Brees and you put yourself in a position for an opponent to have to kick a 58-yard field goal with 2 seconds left, the odds are pretty good you're going to win. So, yeah, it was loose because they don't trust their coverage. Drew Brees threw 3 touchdown passes in the second half when the Saints scored on 5 or 6 possessions. After the defense played great in the first half. So if it comes down to a 58-yard field goal with two points with 2 seconds left, I don't think that's too shameful, although Romeo Crennel's getting beat up big time in Houston and around the country.
John, I'm thinking this as I'm watching the game. With all the injuries around the AFC South right now, why didn't the Texans go more max protect with their quarterback, trying to help out Watson some, especially with Tunsil being there on 5 days' notice?
Well, not just Tunsil. Their linemen hadn't played together once in preseason because of injuries. They had one starter out, the left guard, although I'm not sure that the backup's not better because the backup started last year. And they did a great job of run blocking. Last year they had to do a lot of max protecting. So I don't know. The Saints were beating them with blitzes and stunts, which are designed to take advantage of an offensive line that the Saints knew had not been together and had a new left tackle. It was great strategy. And two of those were caused by Watson. You know, the way Watson plays, he holds the ball, he runs around. Sometimes he runs into sacks, and people don't criticize him as much. But Bill O'Brien talked today about that style. Something takes a lot of hits because of the way he plays, not just on dropping back, but when he ran for the 21-yard touchdown and went flying into the end zone, landed on his butt. That's why he spent 3 times in the medical tent. We don't know somebody's massaging his butt or what, but I've never seen a guy spend so much time in there and then come out and go back on the field and play. But the Texans' pass coverage and pass protection is going to be a problem. I think the protection will improve as the season goes and their new players adjust to each other, but I don't see any hope for the corners.
I like what I saw from Kenny Stills, though. That's going to be a nice addition.
Yeah, putting him out there with Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, their slot receiver, Kiki QT will be back. They only threw one pass to a tight end because you only got so much to go around. That 180 yards rushing and average 7.8 yards of carry, which was second most in team history. So the running game was a lot better than I thought it would be. The passing game with Watson and County, I've told people, take Watson in fantasy football. And he accounted for 4. And I knew the pass protection would be bad. Wrote it last week and said it on all my talk shows. that because they had not played together, they were playing in a loud Superdome. And I put the over-under on pre-snap penalties at 3. It was 4. So that didn't surprise me. And I shouldn't be surprised about the corners, but Michael Thomas and then Ted Ginn even had 100 yards. I don't remember last time he had a 100-yarder. But, you know, Drew Brees is one of the all-time great quarterbacks for a reason. Shut down in the first half and came out with a vengeance in the second. And they lose, of course, by 2 on that last second field goal. It's the fourth time Watson has put them ahead with a late touchdown pass, only to see the defense blow it. At New England and Seattle as a rookie last year in the 15th game against Philadelphia.
John, it's clear that New Orleans fans have not forgotten about that missed call in the NFC Championship game, nor should they. How many fans were wearing referee jerseys last night?
As I was going to the Superdome, I saw so many of you. I thought they were the officials' relatives, the way they were dressed. I thought that was a great idea, and it got a lot of attention. And the way they got screwed on time at the end of the first half, they would have had it, and they still talked about it a lot afterward, about the officials costing them time that would have helped them move forward, take a shorter field goal that Will Lutz would have made instead of missed. And if they lost that game, man, oh, man, would they be crying about the officials today?
Phone lines are open. If you've got an NFL question for John McClain, 615-737-1045. John, bouncing around the league a little bit, did the Colts surprise you a little bit with how good they looked in that overtime loss to the Chargers?
Hell, they were down 24-9, and they looked good. Yeah. Marlon Mack ran well. Jacoby Brissett didn't throw for a lot of yards, but he didn't turn it over. Threw 2 touchdown passes. You know, they've been talking about how well he was going to play, and they couldn't stop Phillip Rivers or Austin Eckler, is that his name? Yep. 3 touchdowns, including the game winner in overtime. So we'll find out more about the Colts when they come to Nashville. Hopefully this place will be sold out. The crowd will go crazy with the retiring of Steve McNair and Eddie George. If their jerseys are retiring.
Their number.
Yeah.
Their number. And so nobody can ever wear their jerseys again. And so I think that that'll be a great crowd coming off a tremendous victory. The two things I was tired of hearing about, Antonio Brown and the Cleveland Browns. And I was so happy to see the Titans not just beat them, but to embarrass them because they were getting too cocky. My friends in the Cleveland media were getting too cocky. Now, of course, they're not. And so, unfortunately, we got to hear about both again. Antonio Brown, New England, and Cleveland. They play on the road, I think, at the Jets. And they're not going to die and go away.
Not this week, anyway, because they're playing on Monday night. So they're going to have all day Monday to discuss that on ESPN, the Browns. That's not going away, all the hype.
That yellow score thing that was got changed at halftime last night, that would be
amazing.
Fitting. That would be fitting next Monday night with the Jets and the Browns. Yeah, it would be appropriate.
All the penalties. John, while you brought it up, give us your thoughts on the Titans retiring the numbers for Steve and Eddie and your thoughts whenever you think of that.
I think it's a great idea. I was there when both of them were drafted, Steve in 95, Eddie in 96. I remember Steve was in New York. Bud Adams sent his jet to pick him up to bring him down to Houston when he got off the plane with his mama. The media was all over the tarmac because they landed at an airport for private planes. And that's the first time I saw him in person. And I remember his first 2 years when he didn't start much and Chris Chandler was the starter. And all the players wanted McNair to start because they knew he had talent. They wanted to see him in, but he didn't become the regular starter until he got to Nashville. And, of course, that worked out great. And a story that Jeff Fisher used to tell at our Charles Davis Foundation dinners that you guys would remember the year. I do not. When Steve got hurt, the fans cheered. Neil O'Donnell came in and they cheered. He wanted to retire. He went to Jeff and said he wanted to retire. Jeff asked him, but just stick around before you make a rash decision. And he said, okay, coach. And then O'Donnell got hurt. He came in, pulled out a victory. And as he was walking across the field, Fisher said, You still want to retire Matt? He says, no, coach, not anymore.
What year was that, Paul? The Chiefs game.
When he landed, yeah, the injury was the sternum that he landed on the football.
Where you could hear the chicken wire in his chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he breathed.
I remember that story vividly at the McLean dinners with Jeff Fisher for sure. It'll be a cool night. Halftime's going to be awesome this Sunday. Cool afternoon, I should say, with that retirement going on. Taylor, Brandon, hang with us. As you know, when you call in, you go to the front of the line for John McLean. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 biggie bag. John McLean with us, presented by FreelandChevy.com.
Look, Bill Belichick's way smarter than I am. I just can't see how Antonio Brown falls in line with the Patriots' way. I can't see how he puts down his social media. I can't see how any of this is possible.
Antonio Brown's got to have attention. You know, when Randy Moss went there, he had worn out his welcome a lot of places, but most of it was behind the scenes. And he stayed there, and then they unceremoniously cut him. Corey Dillon went there. He'd had problems, but it wasn't because he was doing everything but pouring gasoline on himself and lighting a match to get people to notice him like Antonio Brown. They've written that contract where he's got a $20 million guarantee next year, so that would help him recoup $30 million that he didn't get from Oakland. I bet, and we'll never know, of course, because the league not going to investigate. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Patriots didn't orchestrate his exit from Oakland. Once he lost that guaranteed money, Chris Mortensen reported he used internet social media consultants. And I guess they said, well, put your fine on social media and surreptitiously tape your assistant, your head coach, and put it out there. That'll infuriate them. And then because the deal with New England was done so quick, I'd like to know that they said there was Drew Rosenhaus's agent said there was another team interested. Boy, I'd love to know what other idiot was out there. And I agree, Paul. You know, it's like I tweeted, signing him's like letting a rattlesnake in your house. At some point, you're going to get bit. It's just a question of when and how many times. And at some point, the Patriots are going to get bit because he's going to do something because it's who he is.
Had to be Andy Reid or Pete Carroll. I mean, I would think those are the only two head coaches who would feel like they could figure out a way to make it work.
Wouldn't it have been funny if it's John Dorsey coming to put him out there with Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt, when his suspension is over? But, you know, he wasn't able to do it with Mike Tomlin. He wasn't able to do it with John Gruden. Now he's gone with a coach who is a much tougher disciplinarian. And I just don't see him toeing the line, being a good teammate, being dependable, keeping his mouth shut. The Raiders said he was never there 3 days in a row. So what they had, they can't miss. What they didn't have, they can't miss.
Well, Tom Brady's going to command so much more respect than Derek Carr would. That's first and foremost. I mean, Tom's saying, hey, come stay at the house if you want. And I haven't heard anything from Antonio Brown since he signed with New England. I was hearing something every 5 hours from him when he was with a Raider.
Well, that's because of the way the contract's written, I'm sure. And Drew Rosenhaus has laid down the law to him, but it's only a matter of time. And I hope maybe Brady at that house of his in Boston at Brookline, he's got a separate house that he uses for stuff. Maybe he's going to put Brown out there. I'm sure
he'll be the Kato Kalen.
Maybe Giselle make him sleep in a garage.
I'm on the opposite side. This is going to work out perfectly for New England. Why? Because it's the Patriots.
Well, they've had Albert Ainsworth. They've had Ocho Cinco. They've had some others that it didn't work. It's not
but those guys didn't disrupt the locker room.
Every problem
they just didn't play well.
Brought in there has worked out. I just hate to see a scumbag like that screw up like he did, all his fault, and then get rewarded with a chance to go to a Super Bowl team.
Well, it's
what is the lesson in that?
Well, the reason why I keep going back to, they're right now on the doorstep of actually getting production from him. New England doesn't have to put up with any of the offseason antics because the offseason's over. Now they get to see the reward. Oakland put up with all of it, gave up two draft picks, and then paid him $1 million. And they never actually got to open the present.
It actually makes me sympathetic for Oakland, which is a hard place for me to be.
Yeah,
because they were idiots throughout.
Well, and it,
they do suffer now.
Are we going to spend some time talking about his mental health also? This is something that they're basically saying, well, this was all a show, and he's completely fine, even if you're just signing him. Like, there's not even a discussion of it, right, if you're the Patriots?
Well, if we're not talking about his mental health, then it was all a show. If we are talking about his mental health, then he's got mental health.
But then there's just, it brings up so many issues to me just with the integrity of the league. If someone can fake being insane.
Who's next?
Which is essentially, Antonio Brown looks like an insane person, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
there are tons of people saying this looks like a guy who's had problems
from
with
MASH.
Concussions or he's gone crazy. So he behaved like a crazy person. Let's say that we believe Drew Rosenhaus had the Patriots the whole time and he never wanted to be a Raider. Well, he faked wanting to be a Raider for a little while, acted crazy, got out of his deal with the Raiders. He's celebrating going to the Patriots. To me, that's an integrity issue with the league. If a player can do that, that's of that value.
What do you think, John?
This league has no integrity. They let people come back to kill people. They let people come back to beat up women. They don't have any integrity.
But, John, my point is not that. I get all that. I mean, the talent will outweigh whatever problem you have. I'm saying when you can manipulate a situation like this against a collective bargaining agreement to do everything possible to get out of one place to go to another, I think he's a little crazy, quite honestly. I'm not a psychiatrist. I haven't set him down on the couch and talked about
well,
it with him.
You try to be.
But, yeah, but he's with you.
You
I can
doctor.
Do that. But at some point, an orthodontist, thank you. But at some point, it's just the Patriots are basically saying, well, this was a show and he's going to be fine with us, which I have an issue with that part of it because we're no longer talking about maybe Antonio Brown is crazy because now he's with the Patriots, so he's cured.
Well, now he's quiet. He's quiet crazy, and quiet crazy doesn't need examination. Listen,
he knew
Klinger,
what he was doing.
Klinger couldn't get out of the Korean War dressing as a woman every day trying to get a Section 8 on MASH.
I like the
but
NFL.
But Antonio Brown could get out of Oakland.
I like the NFL because all 32 teams should have equal rights to being good. The league is created for people to go 8-8. There is a structure there. It's a meritocracy. I now don't like the Antonio Brown situation because here's a guy who gamed the system to make the best team in the NFL currently a lot better and screwed over a team that tried to do what they could within the rules to bring in a playmaker like Antonio
Brown.
That's
why I don't want it to work. I'm rooting against it to work. I fear what Hutton's saying is right.
You know what
sure
he was doing the whole
not.
Time. I don't think, I mean.
Well, that's BS. If he did know what he's doing the whole time and Oakland gives up picks for him and he then forces his way out knowing that New England wants him the whole time, he gamed the system and the system should be Antonio Brown proof.
Khalil Mack got out too.
Bart. He's not that smart. The only time he tried to game him was when they took away his guarantees.
Yeah, and he gave up 30 to get 15?
That's when I guarantee you that Bill Belichick or somebody at the Patriots called Drew Rosenhaus to find out what was going to happen there and let him know we'll sign him. And
these people are filthy.
He's not smart, and I don't think he's crazy because he's been doing stuff like this for a long time. I mean, look what he did in Pittsburgh. And then there are things coming out now that the Steelers kept quiet and covered up that he did. And I was hoping it would blow up on the Raiders because they did it. I hope it blows up on the Patriots. I understand why they signed it, but I hope it blows up on them because I hate to see the guy continue to get chances.
It's pretty funny. While he was going berserk, everybody was passing out 2019 Coach of the Year trophies to Mike Tomlin for having handled all of this for as long as he did. And then on Sunday night, everybody was taking him right back after he could only put up a field goal against the Patriots.
What's up?
Which was a terrible showing. I mean,
yeah.
You first off, you kick a field goal from the one. What is that? How could the Steelers have such a poor showing, John, in a crucial start that measures yourself against the best team in your conference, the best team in football?
They looked very un-Steeler-like with the way they played on defense, the way the receivers like Philip Dorsett you know, who, man, oh, man, when he didn't just squat when he was in Indy, and then all of a sudden he's running behind the defensive backs. And, of course, Brady looked great. They lose their center, no problem. They got a left tackle coming off a torn Achilles, no problem. Dante Scarnecchia, their longtime offensive line coach, may be the best assistant coach in the league because it doesn't matter what happens. He just keeps moving those guys around. They play great, and they work well with Brady, of course. And right now, I'm feeling real good 1 week into the season about my Super Bowl champion pick.
John, which team surprised you the most from week one?
Miami, with how utterly terrible it was. Like, they shouldn't be in the NFL, and what a bad time it is for football in the state of Florida. And then the way the Browns, with the big buildup, just got crushed by the Titans at home. And I felt bad for their fans, but I didn't feel bad for the team because I feel like they got some cocky guys on there. So those were the two I thought about the most. I also saw a graphic. I think there were 8 teams that made the playoffs that lost their first game last year and rallied to have winning records before clinching playoff spots. So one game doesn't define the season, but it sure is fun to analyze the winners and losers.
So these Dolphins, I guess the ones with the most clout and the best players, want out of Miami because they don't want to be part of this tanking and waiting several years for the Dolphins to get good if they use their draft picks wisely. But, you know, they've got no recourse here, and the Dolphins, you know, probably would like to trade some more good players and get some more picks. But what are the odds any of these guys can get out?
Well, after Mike Florio wrote that, I know Armando Salguero from Miami Herald said he hadn't heard that.
He's now reported something similar, I think.
Is he? But the fact is, if somebody else tweeted, good luck with that because there's not a lot of big demand for you. Now, Xavier Howard, their great corner, signed a long-term extension in the offseason. He's probably kicking himself. And there's no guarantee they're going to use those draft choices the right way.
Right.
Brian Flores, who came there from New England, one of the reasons De'Veon Clowney didn't want to go there, not just to play with a bad team. He didn't want to play for Brian Flores. It'd be his second Bill Belichick disciple behind Bill O'Brien. And he didn't want to, so he wanted to go play for a player's coach like Pete Carroll. And so I think the Dolphins, you know, I'd feel bad if I be at Tagovailoa, and I may say, well, I may play one more year and play my senior year instead of going to Miami.
So, John, it's a prove-it year for Jameis Winston, and it's not off to a good start in his first game.
He was terrible. Bruce Arians probably wishes he'd retired to let San Francisco come across the country and beat them like that. And Winston looked awful. I remember a lot of people think Bruce Arians, because he's been associated with a lot of quarterbacks, great ones like Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger, and then he revived Carson Palmer's career. And Mike Evans, their great receiver, was shut down by maybe Richard Sherman. They had 2 pick sixes off of Winston, so they can't be happy with that start. Bruce Arians, my goodness, he's got health issues. He may have some more after thinking about having to play with Winston, who, like Marcus Mariota, is in the last year of his contract and has a chance to make a lot of money.
What did you think of Kyler Murray's debut?
And the first half was terrible. I was watching the second half in overtime at the airport. It just felt like a defeat for Detroit and a victory for the Cardinals. For him to rally them like that, Cliff Kingsbury took the blame for awful play calling in the first half. But if you are an Arizona fan, you got to feel pretty fired up right now. On the other hand, when I saw the Lions in joint practices in the preseason game, I thought, man, Matthew Stafford's in for another long year.
They were Arizona was pretty good, and Matt Patricia botched a timeout where they converted. What was it? They converted for a first down that would have helped them run out the clock, but he called a timeout right before the play.
Yeah.
And it really backfired. And then they threw incomplete, and that was that.
I'd be interested to see if Patricia, even though Bob Quinn, who was in New England, hired him, if the Ford family gets tired of his antics after 2 years and dumps him because, you know, they sure haven't shown any improvement. And he's not one of my favorite guys, and it wouldn't bother me at all to see him be bad.
He's really not very embraceable. And I think in this day and age, you got to have some sort of embraceability about you at the beginning. Head coaches get hired to take over bad teams. And if you're taking over a bad team, you got to have some likability about you in order to get through the part where you're still bad. See,
that's
Ken Wisenhunt.
Great point, Paul, but a lot of those guys, especially the ones that only system they know is New England, they think they're Belichick and they're not. And Brian Flores is facing the same thing down there in Miami.
How's his likability?
He's going to get a whole lot of criticism from people, and you got to have thick skin. And when you come from New England, they seem to forget Belichick was 1 out of 6 years making the playoffs. And he got incredible amount of criticism in Cleveland and that first year in New England. And these guys think they're going to be him right off the bat. They all put in his rules. They all operate the way he operated. And that's the only way they know. And unfortunately for the teams that hire him, that's not the way it is.
That's why there's a lot to like about Mike Vrabel in that he's got some Belichick in him, but he's not a Belichick guy, so to speak. He's not on the Belichick tree the way those guys are.
No, because Mike learned from other organizations. I thank Bill O'Brien after his first year not doing everything like Belichick. And he said, I learned a lot from Bill, but I also learned from George O'Leary and Ralph Frege and other head coaches he worked for because he didn't just work for one. And that's good. You know, Vrabel's smart about that. He knows good coaches, when they know something besides one system, have a chance to adjust, adapt, and win. Those guys who think they only do it one way, like their mentors, they're doomed to failure.
John, have a safe trip back to Houston, and we will catch up with you later this week.
Guys, thank you very much, and congratulations to Mike Vrabel and the Titans, and good luck against the Colts. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Good talking to you.